Now we've been talking about God's power in the life of the believer, and how do you function in that power. Now today we're going to be speaking more specifically about the power of knowing the enemy through the blood. Knowing through the blood. In Romans chapter 1 verse 16 and 17, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of God that produces salvation, wholeness, deliverance, preservation, the blessings of the Lord, prosperity, increase. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To who? To everyone that believe. To the Jew first, and also to the Gentiles. And then in verse 17 it says, verse 17 goes on to say that here is why the gospel of Christ is the power of God that produces all of these blessings. Verse 17 says, because therein, in that gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. In that gospel, the revelation of the authority that we have is revealed. In that gospel, there is the revelation of the oneness that we have with God in Christ that is revealed. In that gospel, what comes out of that gospel is the reality of the rights and the privilege that we have as the sons of God. Coming out of that gospel is that because of the blood, we have a right standing with God, so that we are justified before him, so that in his sight we are as if sin has never been. So we are free from condemnation and guilt and shame and insecurity and inferiority and fear. So it says, I'm not ashamed of this gospel of Christ, because therein the very righteousness of God is revealed. It produces power, because out of this gospel comes this revelation of righteousness. And in this revelation of righteousness, you see what happened is that oneness of God produces power. Amen. That's part of the revelation of righteousness. The authority of God is what? That is power. Amen. That's part of the righteousness. The revelation of what is ours, our rights and our privileges, that is power. And that's part of the revelation of righteousness. And then, of course, our right standing. Oh, how wonderful it is that because of the blood of Jesus, in the sight of God, you are so accepted, and God sees no fault in you. God looks at you and he says, in your sight, you are holy, you are without blame, and you are without fault. He says that in my sight, you, it is as if sin has never been. I have blotted out your transgressions. I have removed your sins. I have forgiven them, and I have removed them, not for your sake, because you needed forgiveness, but I did it for my own sake, so that I can have you for myself. And you could stand before me, not having any consciousness of sin, separation, guilt, condemnation, inferiority, or any other such thing. In fact, I've even made you a partaker of my divine nature. So that's the end of any sense of inferiority. Glory to God. So the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, because out of it comes the unveiling of this revelation of righteousness. Say praise the Lord. All right. Now, this gospel, what is it? It is good news. It is the good news of what Jesus did for us. And that what Jesus did for us is that he sacrificed himself. It is the very sacrifice of Christ that is the good news. The sacrifice of Christ that is the gospel. God literally giving the very essence of his very own life, he self-sacrificed to his son. Why? So that he can have us. Amen? That's good news. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, the preaching of the cross, the preaching of that sacrifice, to those who perish, those who are not saved, quite often it is foolishness. But bless God, for us who are saved, for us who are born again, for us who are now called believers and saints, for us the preaching of that cross is the power of God. To us who are saved, the preaching of that sacrifice is the power of God. What is that? What is that all talking about? You see, when you first get a hold of the gospel and you've heard the good news, instantly you are made the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? But then what happened is, as we apply the sacrifice and we apply what he has done to us who are saved, the application of that sacrifice produces power. It causes us to be established in this righteousness. It causes us to be established in our authority. It causes us to be established in our rights and privileges. It causes us to be established in the freedom that we have being justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It causes us to be established in the oneness that we have with God in Christ. Hallelujah. So for us, man, I'm telling you, the gospel, the preaching of the cross, the declaration of that cross, the speaking of that sacrifice, the proclaiming, the declaring, the decreeing, putting that sacrifice in our mouth, what happens? It produces power. Amen? But I want you to notice, it's the speaking, the proclamation, the preaching of the cross that is the power of God. It must be preached. It must be spoken. You've got to speak it. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. It must be spoken. God said in Jeremiah 5 verse 14, Jeremiah 23 verse 29, that I'm going to make my word in your mouth as a hammer and as a fire. Amen? So here you are. Jesus is the King of Kings and you are a king. And you are speaking the various aspects of the sacrifice. Guess what happens? God says, I'll make it power. I'll make it fire and I'll make it happen. Hammer. When you are speaking that, here is what happens. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power. Say, I'm a king. Can you imagine? You are a king and you're speaking that word of God, that word of the cross that God declares is a hammer and a fire. What kind of power gets released? You see, I'm trying to see if I could convince you of that. Because you see, what happened is there are some that know, many believers might know, Jesus died for me. And yes, they're born, they're forgiven and all of that. But they're not operating in the power of God because they are not, the devil has talked them out of speaking. They've been intimidated to speak and to declare, I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I here. The old man in that nature is buried in God. They don't declare that I have been resurrected with him. I've been raised up together with him. I ascended with him. I am seated at the Father's right hand. I now have the very life of Christ as my very own. I have been washed by the blood of Jesus, and I stand in this new everlasting covenant where God is my sufficiency. They don't declare that the authority of the name of Jesus belongs to me. They don't declare that Christ is in me and he is giving me divine utterance, speaking his word and declaring his promises so that the Spirit of God might watch over those words and fulfill it. They don't do that. And because they're not speaking it, here you have this power. Here you have this dynamite on the inside, but then there is no one that is lighting the fuse. Are you with me? So you must speak. Say, I'm going to speak. It is the preaching of the cross that is the power of God. Not just knowing about it, not just understanding it, not just being able, not just memorizing it, but preaching it, declaring it, speaking it. That's when the power is released. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we've come to this understanding. That we've got to believe, we've got to speak the truth of your intimate participation in each of the eight aspects of the sacrifice of Christ. Amen? We've got to live here. We got to camp here. We've got to abide in this sacrifice. You got to abide in the reality of crucifixion, of burial, of resurrection, of ascension, of being washed by the blood, of the name of Jesus, of the life of Christ, of the word of God and the promises of God. Say, I live here. Amen. Paul lived there. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, a verse of scripture that I just absolutely love because it is so practical. It is so instructive. And you see, the reproofs of the instructions of the Lord is what will cause you to function in the very life of God. So Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10, he says, I always, not just every day, but always, moment by moment, hour by hour, I always bear about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus, so that the very life of Christ would be made manifest in my body, so that the very life of Christ would be made manifest in my mortal flesh. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10 and 11. Now, what happens when Jesus' life is made manifest in your mortal flesh? What sickness or disease can remain? But he says, the way I operate, the way I get this life to manifest is, I always live in this identification of the dying of the Lord Jesus. I totally identify. I died with him. I was buried with him. I was crucified with him. I was resurrected with him. I ascended with him. I now have his life. I've washed by his blood. The authority of his name is mine, and his word dwells in me richly. He says, I live here. Amen. I believe that's the reason why when they stoned Paul and they dragged him out of town and they thought he was dead, he got up and came back into town. The life of Christ was made manifest in his body. Hallelujah. He says, I live here. I die daily. I always bear about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So you and I, Paul, exercised that to such a point that it became like muscle memory for him. It was a reflex. You know, I was coming on the Red Hill Creek this morning. And for those of you who travel on the Red Hill Creek, there's a particular area they used to have a few accidents and even a few deaths. And as a result, they've changed the speed limits. And there's a particular area where the speed limit is down to 80. And I mean, and the guys, the police are very vigilant in that area. And man, they give out speeding tickets. Amen? A lot. Well, I live in that area, so I come down there all the time. And so I've made an adjustment to slow down in a particular area. And my thinking has become so renewed to the reality that how I need to drive in that area, that man, I slow down and it's like muscle memory. I don't even think about it. Are you with me? Well, we are to so exercise ourselves in the sacrifice of Christ that it becomes a spontaneous reflex. Are you with me? We got to exercise in this thing. Amen. We got to totally embrace the cross and the sacrifice. We need to acknowledge the truth. We died in Jesus' death, buried with him, and so on, resurrected with him. We are sanctified and set apart by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So this is the truth. This is the truth of our lives. Galatians 2:20. I say it over and over and over. I don't think a week goes by without me saying Galatians 2:20. Which is what? The reality. This is your life. You have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer you that live. So don't try to keep you alive. Amen? You've been crucified, buried, and gone. It's no longer you that live, but guess what? The life you now live, it is the life of Christ. And you live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved you, who sacrificed himself so that he can have you and so that you can have him and that you can now have his life living in you and through you. And you need to acknowledge it. Say, this is where I live. Now, we have covered in this series regarding the power of God flowing in our lives and functioning in that power. So we've covered the power of God flowing out of death, out of burial, out of resurrection, out of ascension. And then last week, we studied to some degree knowing and seeing through the blood of Christ. The blood that is on the mercy seat of God. Remember when Jesus said to Mary when he was resurrected on outside of the tomb, and Mary thought he was a gardener, and she was coming, and she says, Rabboni. And he says, yes, it's me, but don't touch me, because I have not yet ascended to my Father and to your Father. Later on, he came back, and then he had Thomas and everybody else, hey, touch me. put your hand inside. Look at these nail prints in my hand. What happened? During that time, Jesus went and he took his blood to the throne room of God, and it was applied to the mercy seat where it still is today and where it speaks. Are you with me? So last week we talked about knowing through that blood that is speaking from the mercy seat of God. Knowing God knows you through that blood, and we are also to know God through that blood. And also too, we are to know ourselves through that blood. And not live in a realm of sin consciousness, but recognize that God has washed us, cleansed us, redeemed us, sanctified us by his very own blood that he poured out through his son. And he did it for himself, for his own name's sake, because he wanted to have you. Amen? He didn't want you to live separate from him. And in the process, he got forgiven, thank God. But he did it for himself. And now you are to see yourself through that blood. You are to see God through that blood. And you are to, quite frankly, we're not going to go there today, even see people through that blood. Where we are going to go today is seeing the devil through that blood. Amen? That's where we're going today. Knowing your enemy. Knowing the enemy, the devil, through that blood. The power of knowing the enemy through that blood. Now, right up front, we want to make sure you get this clear right up front. Because of the blood of the everlasting covenant. Because of the blood of the everlasting covenant, Deuteronomy 28 verse 7 says, the Lord will cause your enemies, including the devil, who rise up against you, to be defeated before your face. Because of that blood. Because you are in this covenant. They shall come against you one way, but guess what? They're going to flee before you seven ways. God said to Joshua, every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given it unto you. Whatever you can see, whatever you can perceive, you're going to come to find out he has already given it unto you. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, I have given it to you. I've given it to you before you tread on it. Amen? It is yours even before you see it. Your salvation is nearer than your believing. All right. So no weapon formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn it. You shall show it to be in the wrong. You will cause it to be brought to naught. Why? Because this is your heritage as a servant of God, devoted to the will of God, and your righteousness is of him. Say, I'm victorious. All the time. So the enemies that we're going to address in this teaching today is mainly the devil, and to a lesser extent, people. But you say, but people are not your enemies. No, they're not your enemies. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. People are not your enemies, but the devil will work through people. And he will work through circumstances. So we got to deal with all of that so that we can walk in the victory that God has given unto us. And the blood declares unto us, when we can know and see through the blood, we will see absolute total victory in every single area over all of our enemies. Say, all the enemies, they are underneath my feet. All right. Hallelujah. You say, well, what about the circumstances? Well, what about the circumstances? The scripture says that you can come boldly. Boldly through the blood to the very throne of his grace and obtain mercy and find grace to do what? Help in the time of need. The word of God says no matter what comes against you, not height nor depth nor this nor that or whatever else, nothing will separate you from the love of God. And in all of these things, you are more than a conqueror. Why? Because of the blood. Because he was sacrificed. You are above only and not beneath. Say, I'm above only Now you are seated in heavenly places in Christ. Where do you think the situation, the challenges, the circumstances are? Are they above you? Are they on your level? No, they're beneath you. Say, I'm above only. Amen. Now, as believers, we are on an assignment. We are on a mission. We are to do the works of God. We are to destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And the Son of God is living on the inside of you. And he is enforcing that victory that he has already won. So you and I do have an assignment to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. We are to make Jesus' enemies his what? Footstool. Now, Proverbs 16 verse 7 says that when a man ways pleases the Lord, God says, I will make your enemies your footstool. I'll make your enemies your footstool. Does that mean your enemies are going to start liking you? No. They're not going to start liking you, but they will submit to you. They will bow. They will bow to you. Now, when I say they'll submit to you, and when I say they'll bow to you, it's not really you that they bow to and they submit to, but it is Christ that is in you. And remember, the life you now live is what? It's the life of Christ. Everything and everyone, including principalities and powers and situations and circumstances, things present, things to come, everything bows to the nature of God that is in you. Everything. Say everything. So God says in Isaiah 4-5, verse 23, that I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me, to my nature, that to me every knee shall bow and every tongue. I know some versions say every tongue shall confess. Some says every tongue shall make an oath. I look at the translation, it says every tongue shall swear allegiance. Think about that. Every tongue shall swear allegiance. That is the authority of the nature of God that is in you. And God wants you to know that, so that you are walking around like a king. You are walking around like more than a conqueror. You've got a mindset of superiority, not over people, but over the enemy and over circumstances. Amen? Our new life, our new identity, and our purpose is captured in Galatians 2:20. It's no longer you that live, but it is what? It is Christ that liveth in you. And the life you now live, it's the life of Christ. And you live it by the faith of the Son of God. You live it by the faith of the Son of God. So it's his will, his purpose, his word, his voice, his desires. Amen? We live it by the faith of the Son of God. And 1 John 4:9 says, in this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. What for? Well, to bring many sons to glory. Yes, to get us saved. Yes, to give us eternal life. But he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. That we might live the life that comes through Christ. Now let me ask you a question. What is the life that comes through Christ? It is the life of Christ. So then, it means then that the life that comes through Christ, the life of Christ, that we might live that life, that we might experience. And I pray you would get a hold of this word, experience. You know, when you look at spiritual things, don't allow them to be just intellectual. Don't let them be something you're reading about. Be connected with it. And believe God that this is to be my experience. The life of Christ is to be your experience. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you That is the mystery that was hid from generations. This is the gospel. What is the gospel? It's about Christ in you. This is the reason why you even exist, that Christ might live in you and live through you. Galatians 1, 15 and 16 says, when God called you, say me. You say, oh, but that was about Paul. That's you. When God called you from your mother's womb by his grace, it was to reveal his son in you and through you. It was that you would make Jesus known in the earth. That you would make Jesus known. This is your job. This is your assignment. This is your purpose. This is your reason for your existence. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 3 says that you would be the epistle of Christ to be read of all men. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 15 says that you are to be the fragrance of Christ in every place. Man, when you show up, people say, I'm smelling something. Jesus must be around. You are to be the fragrance of Christ. Say, I'm the fragrance of Christ in every place. So this assignment, this very purpose of your life is what? It is to manifest Jesus in the earth, in your home, in your family, in your marriage, in your workplace. Wherever you go, it is your responsibility and assignment and charge from God, manifest Jesus in every place. Say, that's my job. That's the reason for my existence. But now, so God, let's make another shift here. And this goes hand in hand. Why is this your assignment? Why is this your very mission? Because you are not your own. It's not your life, remember? It's the life of Christ. I'm going to say something now. It is not even about your will and your choosing. Well, it is your will and it isn't. You see, when you function from a place of humanity, you will function from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Choosing whether to eat this or whether to eat that. Choosing. This issue of choice comes from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God never wanted us to eat from that tree, remember? He wanted you to eat from the tree of life. You see, when you function from a humanity perspective, from your humanity, then there is this issue of choice. But when you function from the nature of God, it's only about obedience. And the essence of obedience, in the middle of obedience, is the word die. And in the middle of the word die is the word I. In obedience, it's no longer you. It's about the will of God. That's the very essence of being a servant of God. Amen? Anyway, God's will for your life is very clear and is very simple and is emphatically this. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 3 says, this is the will of God, your sanctification. So you don't have to be mystified or talk to anybody about what the will of God is. God says, this is my will for you, your sanctification. You are set apart for God. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 and 20 say, you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. You have been ransomed by the blood and the sacrifice of Christ. Now you belong to God. Your body is his temple. That's why you presented a living sacrifice. You are not your own. Say, I'm not my own. I belong to God. You are. You see, when Jesus was walking along the shores of Galilee, and when he was walking along in Jerusalem and Capernaum and all of these places in Samaria, he was walking around in a body that was provided by Mary, in a sense. Amen? But he was walking around in that body, but he laid that body. That's not what he's living in right now. The body he has right now is yours. You and I, we are the body of Christ. You are his temple. You are his body. You are his dwelling place. You are his hands. You are his feet. That is why we walk with our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You are his voice. You are his mouth. The scripture says that we are to be the oracles of God. Amen? Say, I am his. He is mine. I belong to him. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. Even your very mind is to be what? The mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ, and the scripture therefore says, let that mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let that mind of Christ function. Amen? So, I'm going to take it another step. Can I do that? I'm trying here for us to capture the reality of this. The reality of what God is talking about. What the sacrifice has done. Brought you to an end. Now it is the life of Christ. Living in you. Living through you. For the will of God. Living by the faith of Christ. You are no longer your own. Your will. You are separated, sanctified unto God. I'm going to take it another step. You know, many times, us, particularly us as preachers, we have a way of thinking and believing and speaking that somehow we are this vessel that ministers to people, which in a sense we are. But ultimately, what God desires is that we would be the vessel through whom he can minister. Do you see a difference? So it's not me ministering. It's not you ministering. It's not you, but rather you are just the vessel and the vehicle through whom he can minister. Amen? Oh, glory to God. A lot of more folks are going to start getting healed and delivered. So as we renew our mind to what? To this life of Christ that is in us. To the reality of this, the will of God are being sanctified and set apart. As our minds is renewed, as you renew your mind, and as you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, Christ will make every enemy his footstool. He will do it. He will make every enemy his footstool through you. Amen? 1 John 3:8 again, what does it say? For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the enemy. Now I'm turning to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8 to 12, just to point out something here. Listen to what it says. Paul says to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace has been given, this assignment has been given, that I should preach, declare and proclaim among the Gentiles, what are the unsearchable riches of Christ? Christ in you, the hope of glory. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of that mystery. What is their share and part in that mystery, which we know is Christ in you. Which was from the beginning of the ages, had been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. So Paul says, my assignment as a minister and as apostle is to make all men see, and especially the church, especially believers, for them to grasp and see and capture this mystery that it is Christ in them. Why? Verse 10. To the intent that as we awake to this reality that is Christ living in us and through us, to this intent that now, say now, unto the principalities and powers and devils and demons and the kingdom of darkness would be made known by the church, which is his body, the fullness of him, would be made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. In other words, Christ is in us, and part of his assignment is that as we function in that reality, it is so that the principalities and powers would know and hear and bow to the wisdom of God that we are able to proclaim. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers would be made known by the church, us, the manifold wisdom of God. According to the eternal purpose which God accomplished in Christ Jesus. According to what God accomplished in Christ on the cross, and quite frankly, even when Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world, in whom we now have boldness and access with confidence through the faith of him. So we have boldness and access and confidence not only to God, but to the principalities and powers. Amen? Because of this blood. Because of this sacrifice. Amen? So, here we are, as our mind is renewed to the reality of Christ in us, and as we yield to Christ in us, and as we allow the Holy Spirit to work mightily and bring and produce that transformation, that very life of Christ in us will make his enemies his footstool. So, for this to happen, you and I must walk and live in the sacrifice of Christ. The sacrifice of Christ must become a reality to us. It must become an experience. It must become ever so real that it's no longer you that live, because you were crucified with him, buried with him, but it is Christ that liveth in you. And the life you now live, you live by the faith of the Son of God. And the scripture goes on to say in Galatians 2 verse 21, and I paraphrase, don't frustrate the grace of God by coming out of that reality that it's no longer you, but it's Christ in you. Don't frustrate the grace of God. Don't let it be that Jesus was sacrificed and slain in vain. Don't let it be that. But receive and acknowledge this, the reality of this righteousness, this oneness. It's no longer you. You've been crucified, and the life you now live is the life of Christ, and you live it by the faith of the Son of God. Now, can you see why God would say something like this? God says in Psalms 116 and verse 15, how precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, I know we use that at a funeral, but this is right here. And now God says, it is precious in my sight, the death of the saints. When saints recognize the saints, the loving, committed, sold out, consecrated one, when they acknowledge and recognize, I have come to an end. I'm crucified with Christ. I die daily. God says, whoo! That's exactly what I desired. This is exactly why I send my son, so that I can have them. Amen? And live in them and through them. John 3:30. It is as you decrease, then Christ can increase. 2 Timothy 2:11. If you died with him, then you can live with him. Amen? If you be a partaker of the suffering of the cross, then what will happen? You will also be a partaker and reign through him. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is what? Gain. Now we're going to take, I'm saying, you got to live in this sacrifice. You got to live in this sacrifice. Paul said, in Philippians 3 verse 10, Paul says, look, first of all, in verse 9, he says, I want to be found in this place, where I'm living in the righteousness of God, where it is his righteousness. I want to be found there. And because of that, verse 10, he says, because of that, and because I want to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, because I want to know what it is to live in this newness of life, and because I want to apprehend and take a hold of that for which God has also taken hold of me, he says, look, I bear about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus. And he says, I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of his suffering. Being made conformable even to the death of his cross. Being made conformable even unto his death. What am I saying? We got to walk in this sacrifice. We got to live in this sacrifice so that we can function, so that Christ can not only live in us, but through us. And so Proverbs 16 verse 7 says, that when a man ways please the Lord, God says, I'll make his enemies to be his footstool. When a man ways please the Lord, I'll make his enemies to to be at peace with him. When a man ways, please the Lord. Well, we know from Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So faith's got to be involved, won't you say? If we're pleasing God to the point where God will now rise up and make your enemies to be at peace with you and to bow to you. So faith has got to be involved. But now here is something else. Jesus said in John 8, 29, that I always do those things that please the Father. Well, he functioned in faith, but he always did those things that please the Father. So let's capture this for a moment. Here we have faith that pleases God. Here we have the life that we now live, which is the life of Christ. And he always does those things that pleases God. All right? Faith pleases God. The life of Christ that is in us, if he's allowed to do and to live like he desires, he always do those things that please the Father. All right. Now let's come to Hebrews 4 verse 2. You got to capture this here now. Which says, the gospel preached, which they heard, did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. The gospel, the preaching of the sacrifice, which they heard it, but it didn't profit them. It didn't benefit them like it should, because they didn't mix it with faith. Amen? All right, now let's get back over here. Faith pleases God. The life of Christ living in us and through us pleases God. But you've got to mix faith with the sacrifice so as to get results. Here is the conclusion. The sacrifice, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, his name, his life, his word, must be mixed with faith in order for the life of Christ to manifest and make any and every enemy bow. I'm going to repeat that. Ark didn't come up with that. That came from heaven. That came from the Holy Ghost. That's why I wrote it down. Amen. But let me repeat it. The sacrifice, that's the eight elements, must be mixed with faith in order for that life of Christ to manifest, to come forth, so as to make every enemy bow. It is the life of Christ itself that makes the enemy bow. When you say the name of Jesus and a demon is cast out, it's not just, it is because of the life of Christ that is connected with that name. The sons of Sceva, they named the name of Jesus, but they couldn't get any results because they didn't have a right to that name, and Christ was not in harmony with them. So listen to what I'm talking about. Now I'm going to shift what I just said. This is your faith and the life of Christ and mixing the sacrifice with faith. And it is to this point, you got to live in the sacrifice. 1 John 5:4. You got to really stretch and receive this. 1 John 5:4 says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So it says, faith is the victory. Say that with me. Faith is the victory. Say it again. Faith is the victory. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, whenever it says he gives us the victory, or whenever it says through the Lord Jesus Christ, it means that he has given you the victory by virtue of what Jesus did, which is the sacrifice. So he has given you the victory through the sacrifice. So here we have the victory through the sacrifice, and we have that faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. The victory is through the sacrifice. All right. So then, the victory is because of faith. The victory is because of the sacrifice. Now, here is the conclusion. Faith, then, is confidence in the sacrifice of Christ. Faith is confidence in what Jesus has finished. It is confidence in what Jesus has done. It is confidence in the death, burial, resurrection, and what he has done. So, and when you think about that, then when you read, this is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith, confidence in the sacrifice of Christ is what overcomes the world. When you hear, this is the shield of faith that will quench all the fiery darts of the devil. This is the shield, the confidence in the sacrifice that quenches the fiery darts of the devil. When you hear the just shall live by faith, it means the just shall live by having confidence in the sacrifice. Every aspect. When we hear that we walk by faith and not by sight, it means we walk and we live in accordance to the confidence that we have in the sacrifice. And you could take any faith scripture and substitute that meaning, confidence in the sacrifice, and believe and bless God, meditate in it, and see what the Lord will show you. We earnestly contend for what? Confidence in the sacrifice. We earnestly contend for the faith. Some shall depart from the what? Faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. They will depart from the confidence in death, burial, resurrection, ascension, the blood, the name. When Jesus returned, Luke 18 verse 8, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find that there is confidence in his sacrifice? Did you get that? Amen? That's powerful. Hallelujah. All right. So, here is the victory. Here is the truth. When you apply truth, it brings freedom. So confidence in the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, blood, name, life, and word, that produces victory. That produces freedom. That is why 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18 says that the preaching of the cross, the preaching of the sacrifice, boom, it's the power of God that produces salvation, wholeness, deliverance, healing. The preaching, the speaking, the declaring, the mixing your faith with. The death, burial, resurrection, and these eight elements. Amen? Amen. What am I trying to... I'm just emphasizing one point. You got to live in the sacrifice. Amen? So let's get back to knowing your enemy through the blood as we turn this, bring this stuff in for close. Let's go back to this. Knowing your enemy through the blood. Hebrews 13 verse 20 and 21 says, may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect, make you complete, make you well equipped, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight. How? Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. So there is a power in that blood that perfects, that completes, that equips you so that you can do the will of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Regarding the devil, Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 to 12 says, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. And the accuser, because the accuser of the brethren who accuse us before God day and night, he has been cast down. He has been kicked out, and they overcame him. How? By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives even unto death. They love not their lives even unto death. Well, why they love not their lives even unto death? Because they've come to recognize it's not about them anyway. Amen? It's not about you. It's about him. Paul says in Acts 20 verse 24, none of these things move me. They said, when you go to Jerusalem, they're going to throw you in jail. You're going to be chained up. Paul says, none of these things move me because I don't count my life dear to myself so I can finish my course with joy. I could finish the race that God gave me to run, and I could finish and complete this ministry declaring the glory of God and declaring the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't count my life dear unto myself. They love not their lives even unto death, but they have overcome by what? The blood of the Lamb. Overcome who? The devil. Amen. Colossians 2:15 says, says, I saw the devil like lightning fall into the ground. Luke 10 verse 18. Colossians 2:15 says that Jesus on the cross, what did he do? He disarmed principalities and powers. He disarmed the enemy and made a show of it openly. Hallelujah. The devil is defeated. So there is power knowing. When you can know and see the devil through the blood, what happens? You see that he is defeated. For as much as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, Jesus him Christ partook of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of the death, that is the devil, and deliver those who were, because of the fear of death, were held in bondage all their life. You've got a right to be free from every kind of fear whatsoever. Because Jesus has destroyed him that had the power of death. Jesus became a man to defeat the devil. And the devil has been defeated. Jesus, when he rose up from the dead, he says, I've got the keys of hell and of death and of the grave. All power has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Now all of that power, all of his victory belongs to you. Say, his victory is my victory. Listen to John 16:33. It says, these things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Why? Because I've overcome the world. I have overcome the world. And you, I have overcome the world. He that is born of God overcometh the world. You say, well, but Jesus overcome the world. I have situations I'm dealing with. How can I be of good cheer? Because he's overcome the world. Because you were in Christ when he conquered everything. When he conquered all, you were in him. In Christ, you also conquered everything. In Christ, you have all of the victory. That's why you need to have a superiority mindset. A superiority mindset of the righteous, of situations. You can't deal with situations being a coward. You can't look at a situation and I wonder if the mountain is going to move. No, you got to say in the name of Jesus. You got to deal with the problems of life, the challenges of life, devils and demons, where you know that you are more than a conqueror, where you know that you are a king, where you are as bold as a lion, where you know you have authority, where you know that you are seated at the Father's right hand, where you know that this victory is yours right from the very beginning. Amen? Hallelujah. You have defeated Satan and all the demons of hell in Christ, because when Jesus did it, is as if he did it in your name, so that now you are able to live in his name. Now you are required, so that the victory is already won. Now here is where the fight is. You got to fight the good fight of faith. What does that mean? You got to fight to maintain the victory that is already yours. Amen? But now, how do you do that? Have confidence in each aspect of the sacrifice. Mix the sacrifice with faith. And that's when it will profit you. Amen? There is power in the name of Jesus over all the works of hell and over the devil. Why? Because the name of Jesus is rooted in the blood of Christ. Because Jesus was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and shed his blood. God gave them a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. So the power and authority of that name emanates from his obedience unto death, that is embodied in his blood being shed. So the power and authority in the name of Jesus is rooted and flows and is empowered by the blood of Jesus. And that name belongs to you. The scripture says, in my name, behold, I've given you power to tread upon serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. The scripture says that in my name you will what? Cast out devils. So in nothing whatsoever you are to be terrified by the enemy. In nothing are you to be terrified by the enemy. Amen? But you see, what you got to do is keep the blood in your mouth. I had an experience that happened back in 2008 where I had to do some dental work. And it was massive. And then the night I was home and I was sleeping, and in the middle of the night I wake up and I saw blood. I saw blood on the mattress and on the sheet, and I go like, wah! Right? Now, coming out of that experience, God spoke this to me. He says, keep the blood in your mouth. Keep the blood in your mouth. And that has become a prophetic thing, because it says then, you need to speak through the blood. You need to say what the blood say. The blood speaks, you need to speak to. And as you do that, what will happen? All the victory that is yours will be made manifest. The scripture goes on to say in Revelations, After it says that you've overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, it says, therefore rejoice. Rejoice, O ye heavens, and you who dwell in them. Rejoice. Why do I have to rejoice? I thought it's woe, 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 because the devil is cast down. Well, he's down there, I'm up here. Rejoice for those of you who are in heaven. Rejoice. Why? Because you've got the victory. Rejoice because of what God did, because of the power and authority of this blood. Keep this blood in your mouth. Amen. You receive this today? Hallelujah. You have power when you can see and know the enemy of your soul through the blood of Christ.